Thank you. Well, he did come for help. You sign up for two more times, didn't you? Not just one. It's a blessing indeed to be here with you. Good morning to you, those of you who don't know me. Actually, I don't really have an identity, I find, in the Independent Baptist circles. I normally get introduced as the father of those ones that sing, the Malari family, or the fellow that replaced Pastor Ernie Vesely. So my name is Manny. But I'm glad to be here. Thank you, seriously, Westside Baptist Church, for your willingness to host and serve us all. It's been great thus far. I said to Brother Chris Eccles this morning, it's not just the willingness, but the enthusiasm of the church and the folks. And it's really seen out there. They're just a blessing. And may the Lord bless your church even more for stepping up in faith to host the meetings this year. Like I said, I think I remember it's another two more terms. So it comes in threes. But anyway, we can argue about that later on. Thanks also for the preachers. My head and heart is blessed, comfort and challenged, of course. And that's the reason why I like going to these NBF meetings. And I pray that it would indeed continue. The messages were just comforting, challenging. Thanks for the feeding for the soul. So to all of you, I pray that in some small way, of course, God will also use me to somehow encourage you this morning to add some more feeding for the soul, for the ones that we've already heard. See, Brother Eccles is brave in inviting me to speak. Half of the time I have troubles with my words and my syllables. So if you can't understand my accent, just pretend that you do. Okay, and we'll be fine. I remember asking him, Brother Chris, what will be the theme for the NBF? And in the early planning stages, of course, and he said, more than conquerors. And he shared how he believes that the theme is timely, it's relevant. I couldn't agree more. I'm certainly thankful that the leadership has decided to actually put on a theme of more than conquerors in these hard times. Because indeed, it's a reminder. It's a reminder for me that I have got so much more going on with me because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true of me and it's true of each and every one of us. And that nothing, we've been hearing it, nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ. Romans 8 and our theme text was and is a declaration, a statement of fact, a statement of confidence. To conquer is to subdue, to surmount, to defeat, to triumph over. And to be more than a conqueror is like the roosters. The roosters dominating over the storms. 21-6. I can't believe I said that. I'm Victorian and we're in Melbourne. Who cares about NRL anyway? I'm just a sore loser, thank you. But seriously, to conquer has the idea of victory. Victory in battle. Not just victory, but great. Great victory. In one of my readings, it is described as the conqueror placing his foot over the neck of the captive. What a description that is. But in spite of this declaration from the Apostle Paul, Many a Christian have lived a defeated life, and not a victorious one, sadly. As we have heard, we have a guarantee. These days, guarantee is not much of a guarantee, amen? But here we have a divine guarantee of the love of Christ, and because of that love, we are in the here and in the now, in the present. We are more than conquerors. And yet you talk to a brother or a sister and you say, "How are you, brother?" And he'll say, "Oh, good, brother, considering the circumstances." Folks, we are to live above the circumstances of life. We are to conquer it. We are to triumph over it, not because of us, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can conquer it anyway. You see, during the times of the revivalists, we know of Ira Sankey, the song leader of D.L. Moody. On his evangelistic meetings, of course, Charles Alexander, the music minister and support to R.A. Torrey, right here in the Melbourne revival of 1902. And then let's not forget Daniel Nash, prayer warrior to Charles Finney, and many others we could name about. During Bible times, we know of Eliezer, that faithful servant to Abraham. Aaron, the spokesperson for Moses. And later on, Joshua, who is the commander-in-chief, so to speak, of Moses, who became his battle commander and successor to Moses. We read of Elijah, that faithful disciple, the one that followed Elijah wherever he went and ultimately became his successor. When we consider King David, we learn of his mighty men. Depending on who you read, this warrior group numbered a total of about 30, 32, 37, a valiant men whose names are found in 2 Samuel 23 and 1 Chronicles 11. The first three are the generals, if you like. And it's this second one of these mighty three, Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, is who I'd like us to ponder on this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. In the Old Covenant, 2 Samuel 23, if you're able, would you stand with me, please? 2 Samuel chapter 23. Beginning in verse 8, 2 Samuel chapter 23. The Bible, God's Word, inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved for us, says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only the spoil." Shall we pray? Oh, our dear God, once again I come before you, in front of all these people. Father, I'm not to deliver some product launch or a training program. Father, I'm about to declare your word. Help me to give it justice. Help me to preach it well. Help me to preach it accurately. And what I save on this platform, Father, that you would use for your honor and for your glory. Oh, dear God, I pray that I would not rely on human strength, but Father, on you who is able. So, Father, in these next few minutes, we commit our time to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning is not the time for me to discuss or debate on you the many thoughts and the many persuasions about David's, or better said, the Lord's mighty man. But the first point I want to make this morning, if we are to be more than conquerors, is individual responsibility. Individual responsibility. As we look at this fellow called Eleazar in this Bible, I'd like to help us to have a practical example of how it is to be more than a conqueror. And that starts, I believe, with us acknowledging our individual responsibility. You see, beloved, battles are fought and won by the collective effort of many. Every single soldier has a part to play. From the military strategist, to the field generals, to the commanders, to the snipers, to the foot soldiers, to the air bombers and pilots, to the specialist teams, the medics, the cooks, the radio man, the drivers and the armory personnel, everyone has got an individual responsibility. Everyone had been trained for a specific task, and everyone's life is dependent on how each other perform their ordered tasks. When the mission is approved and the command is given, everyone is expected to follow and man their battle stations. They review and confirm their roles. The plan of attack is executed with great precision. Why? Why? In order for the mission to be successful and not be compromised. Here in our text, we find Eleazar fully engaged in a battle against the Philistines. Perhaps he just finished killing one of the enemies. Perhaps on his knees, just taking a quick gasp of air, preparing himself perhaps for the next hand and sword combat. And he just quickly turned to his left and to his right, and then a quick glance behind him, and he could see the Israelites running. Running not towards the enemies, but running away from the Philistines. Our text says that the men of Israel were gone away, verse 9. Beloved, they were withdrawing from the battle, abandoning the fight. They're leaving their posts. They're retreating. They're giving up the fight. Eleazar at that